Greet you in Jesus' name this morning. It has been good to be here this morning. I feel blessed just by all the things that were shared from Cody's devotions about leaving a legacy and how we do that, even in making just small decisions and how we respond with what happens within a day, to the book of Esther, where we see God's plan unfold and how people were willing to do their part with where they were at. And, you know, we read the book of Esther and we know the end of the story, but when they were going through that, they had no idea how it was going to end. But they walked by faith and they trusted God that he would take care of things. Message titled this morning, In Christ Alone. Not sure if this is the best title for my message, but that is what I entitled it. I had a difficult time putting this message together. It seemed like yesterday just things did not want to flow well together. I don't know if somebody was praying at 4:30 this morning, but if you were, thank you, because the message came together from 4:30 to 6:30, so doesn't happen. I don't normally do that, but that's how it was this time. Question. How many of you know what this coming Wednesday is? Do you know what it says on the calendar this coming Wednesday? Some of you aren't allowed to raise your hand. Raise your hand if you know what Wednesday is. Okay. Wednesday is Ash Wednesday. So I think when I say that, you know what's coming. Ash Wednesday marks the beginning of Lent. Now, as I go through this first part here, I am not a historical scholar, so I took a crash course. I tried to use sources that were solid and good, but this coming Wednesday is Ash Wednesday. I'm thinking most of us know what that is. It's more or less a Catholic holiday. There are a few other religions that have an Ash Wednesday service and then also the beginning of Lent. And those are the Presbyterians, Methodists, Lutherans, and Anglicans. Now, Ash Wednesday, for the mainstream or whatever, Catholics that would recognize this day, they have a church service. And it is a time of repentance or reflection, and they'll some of them will get an ash cross put on their forehead, and it's somehow they make it wet and put it on their forehead. They fast on Ash Wednesday, and that is the beginning of Lent. What is Lent? Okay, Lent is actually a time of spiritual preparation before Easter. That's kind of, in a nutshell, what it is. The word Lent is actually shortened from Lenten, and it means spring season. And Lenten actually comes from the word lengthen. So if you kind of follow along there, lengthen, it's when the days start getting longer. Okay, lengthen, the days get longer, and with that, through Lent is a time to stretch or to grow in your spiritual life, same as what the days are getting longer. So that's kind of the meaning there behind that. History. What is the history of Lent? For the first few hundreds of years of church history, and this is what I found through my study, used some online sources. For the first few hundred years, it seems it points to they use this time. Okay, let's back up. So Lent, Ash Wednesday is this Wednesday, which is technically 46 days before Easter. And Lent is a 40-day season, but you exclude Sundays. So that's where your 40-day season of Lent comes in. But we're actually 46 days before that, but you don't count Sundays in that Lent. But the first few hundred years, according to what I found in church history, that basically this was a time used to prepare candidates for baptism. 40 days before Easter, normally they had their baptism on Easter. And they would fast, they would not shave, and they would not bathe, at least some of them. So we'll get to the 40 days here in just a little bit. Then in the 400s, with the rise of Catholicism and infant baptism, Lent went from being about baptism to more about the fast, which we know more about that today. And then by the Dark Ages, between years 500 and 1500, we were looking more at just a fast from meat. So we see a lot of changes coming in. And then even in more modern times, they allow fish, but not like your red meat, chicken, and some of those, but basically just fish. And it is said that a group from Canada said that since beavers live in water, therefore they must be a fish, so we can allow to eat that meat. Anyway, but in modern times, we hear more Christians and more evangelicals and more people talking about giving up something, like something in a little vice or something that they need to give up for Lent. It's almost like a New Year's resolution is kind of what it has become for a lot of people today. And you may hear of people giving up this or that because of Lent. I'd like to just go back to the 40 days, 40 days part. Why 40 days? 40 days of Lent would represent Jesus 40 days in the wilderness after his baptism. So to me, it kind of makes sense where this baptism comes in, where they prepared 40 days before baptism with in mind of what Jesus went through 40 days, the next 40 days after baptism. Why 40 days? Another thing, what does the number 40 signify in the Bible? We have a lot of number of 40s in the Bible. The number 40 appears many times in the Bible, and often it signifies a time of trial, cleansing, refining, and perfecting. So you think of the 40 days that it rained, cleanse the earth, Jesus 40 days in the wilderness, Moses was in the mountain 40 days, and on and on and on. We could go many 40 days are mentioned in the Bible. The Israelites wandered in the wilderness 40 years, and that was to clean out what was it, 20 and older that didn't get into the promised land. 40 days. But what I found, Lent is a Christian season, so it's a Christian holiday kind of or season, and it's in many of the articles what I read, Lent is a time of focusing on Jesus' life and ministry, what he did for us, who he is, and what he is, what he's done, and also then a time for a personal reflection of our own life. So that is what Lent is about, to consider Jesus, his life, and then a time to reflect on our own life. And it was the 40 days before Easter to prepare for those Easter celebrations. So what are my thoughts on Lent? You might think I'm for it. But really, you don't find a basis for it in the Bible. What it has become with the fasting, abstaining from certain foods, doesn't make you righteous, doesn't make you holy. Matthew 15:11 says, "Not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man." So it's not what we eat that defiles us or makes us righteous, but it's what's in the spirit. And there's another one. A lot of what we see with the progression and the changing of the rules in Lent, comes from traditions, and people change that and say, now you can't eat this, but we can eat that. Mark 7:6-9, and he said to them, well did the Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. You leave the commandment of God and hold on to the tradition of men. And he said to them, you have a fine way of rejecting the commandment of God in order to establish your tradition. So it appears that it's more of a tradition, as something that makes you kind of feel good about yourself. If I do this, I'm really something. When in reality, you know, we want to strive to live holy lives all year round, not just for the 6 weeks before Easter. But as I think of some of what Lent is about, is a time of reflection and remembering what Jesus has done, I'm all for that. Also, if you want to give up social media or coffee for 6 weeks, you may do that. It's okay to sometimes discipline ourselves in certain areas just because it's good for you, I think. But it's not necessarily that you're really spiritual now because I didn't have social media for 6 weeks. But if you use maybe that social media time and you study God's word in that amount of time, yes. So I think you understand what I'm saying is, you know, if we want to discipline ourselves and not do something for 6 weeks, that is great. But I don't think it's really going to make you, I don't put it on the same level as Jesus' 40 days of fasting and temptation in the wilderness. Now I'd like to go to Colossians, and just in the middle, you saw what my passage was. I have a lengthy passage this morning, but what I'd like to do is pull out the middle section, and this is kind of Paul addressing issue in the Colossian church about maybe something about Lent, like that, traditions that they were following. I'm going to read Colossians 2:16-23. Therefore, let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food and drink, or with regard to a festival or new moon or a Sabbath. These are the shadows of things to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. Let no one disqualify you, insisting on asceticism. I'm just going to stop right there. Asceticism is the doctrine that someone can attain a high spiritual and moral state by practicing denial. So that's kind of what we're talking about with Lent. Let no one disqualify you, insisting on asceticism and worship of angels, going on in detail about visions, puffed up without reason by his sensuous mind, and not holding fast to the head, from whom the whole body, nourished and knit together through its joints and ligaments, grows with a growth that is from God. If with Christ you died to the elemental spirits of the world, why, as if you were still alive in the world, do you submit to regulations? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch, referring to all the things that all perish as they were used according to human precepts and teaching. These have indeed an appearance of wisdom in promoting self-made religion and asceticism and severity to the body. They are of no value in stopping the indulgence of the flesh. So again, just because we give up a certain food or sweets doesn't necessarily stop the indulgence of the flesh. This is a false Christianity when we use things like asceticism to deny ourselves in hopes to attain a high spiritual state. Just one mention in verse 16, it says, let no one pass judgment on you on questions of food and drink, and it says, or a Sabbath. I think the Jewish people recognized other holy days and called them Sabbaths, not necessarily referring to what we call the day of rest or Sunday. So they had other days as well. So they were allowed to do work on those former Sabbath days. So they were just saying, let no one do that. And then in verse 18, it says, let no one disqualify you. And that word comes from the idea that in an arena, in a sporting event, that they can't disqualify you by a little technicality. So that's what Paul was saying here. Don't let these false teachers disqualify you and your walk with Christ because you eat certain food or drink. So that's kind of the idea there. Now for the rest of the sermon, I want to look at the 2 points of Lent that I think we can kind of grab a hold on, and that is to consider Jesus, his life, death, and resurrection. And that's why I chose the title In Christ Alone, because really that is our hope. We come broken, and we come with all sorts of baggage, and Jesus will take us just as we are. Let's read Colossians 2, 6 to 15. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in him who is the head of all rule and authority. In him also you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through the faith in the powerful working of God, who raised him from the dead. And you, who were dead in your trespasses and circumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses, by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with all its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him. Just a few things that I want to note here as I think about the work of what Jesus did for us. First of all, we are to walk after him. Verse 7, rooted and built up. As we recognize Jesus is that solid foundation that we can build upon, we are to be rooted and then built upon that. The King James says in verse 10, I have the ESV here, it says, you have been filled in him. It says, we are complete in him. And I like that better because it gives the more of the idea that in Jesus there is a completeness, something that we can't get any other way. In Jesus there is completeness. In verse 13, and you who were dead in your trespasses, as I thought about that, it reminded me of the story of Lazarus. Lazarus was physically dead. He could not do anything to bring him out of that. Lazarus died physically. They had a funeral. They wrapped him up. They put him in a grave, and that's where he was. He couldn't help himself. He was dead. In the same way, we were dead at one point spiritually. And it's only when Jesus came along, he rolled back that stone, and he called our name to come forth. He made us alive. As Lazarus' body was dead, he was made alive. Jesus gave him life. And it was only through that. And as he came out of that grave, Jesus said, take those grave clothes off of him. Get rid of all that old baggage. Get rid of all that old stuff. He is made new. He has been made alive. And that is where we are at today. We are made alive in Christ alone, not anything that we could have done on our own. We were utterly and totally helpless. So I just praise God that Jesus did that work and called us out of the grave, as it were, and called us and made us alive in him. And as they unwrap Lazarus in his grave clothes, in verse 14, he says, "And Jesus wiped out all our sins. He canceled the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands, and he set it aside and he nailed it to the cross." He got rid of it. He put it to death. So, as I think of that first point in Lent, of just a special time of recognizing what Jesus has done, and that we want to do that, we don't want to forget that, but we want to do it year-round as well. The next part of just looking at our own life, taking time, every so often we need to take a little inventory and see if we're still going in the right direction. And Lent was a time to examine our own lives. I think most of you have probably been with somebody or use a GPS when you travel. And as soon as you get off course, what does it say? Proceed to the route, or turn around, proceed to the route. And maybe at times we need to get veered off, and we need to get back on the right track. And for the remainder part of the message, looking at Colossians 3, just reading the first 17 verses here in Colossians, as I think of pointing our own life, getting it back in the right direction, heading it straight, so we end up where we want to. We're all on a course. Are we going to end up where we want to? Colossians 3, 1 to 17. "If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above and not on things that are on the earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked when you were living in them. But now you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. And do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old man with its practices, and you have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of his Creator. Here there is not Greek nor Jew, circumcision and uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these things, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father through him." Here we just have Paul writing to the Colossians and just giving them some advice on how to live a Christian life. And as I thought about where is my life headed to, just the first several verses: "If you have been raised with Christ, we seek things that are above." Where where are my thoughts? Where the heart is, or where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The things that we focus on, the things that we really hold dear, that's what we're going to think about. Seek things that are above, and then set your mind on things that are above. Seek those things and set your mind on things that are above. And I was thinking about our life. We set our course, and we go towards that goal. Christ is our life. So, just a few questions. Are we putting the old man, are we putting death, the old man and his desires? It says put off, put to death, and put on the new man. The battle between the old and the new is not going to go away. It's going to be here. But we need to continue to put to death the old man and his deeds and to feed the new man. And as we do that, we're going to see a difference. And I think in as I think of Lent and just a concentrated time of you know, you give something up, but not only you give something up, but you fill it with something else is a way that you're going to make progress. If I just try to quit something but don't fill it with something else, I'm very likely you're going to end up back where you were. So I think it's important to concentrate and put on the new man and its deeds. And then, of course, we need to have love. And as we put on the new man, as we practice love, as we exercise these things, they're going to strengthen, they're going to grow, and we're going to gain, we're going to grow spiritually. And also, as I thought of this, of seeking heavenly things and the treasure, I like the two little, they're just little parables about the kingdom of heaven found in Matthew 13. It says, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up, and then in his joy he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. So a man finds something that he can fully embrace, and he sells out to that one very thing. And then the other one, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who, on finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, he sought that one thing that was worth more than anything else. He sold out to it and went to that. He bought it. And as we think heavenward, we're going to sell out to Christ and his kingdom. And we're not going to think as much on earthly things. Verse 17, whatever you do, it should all be for the glory of God. So as we go from here, we want our life to leave a legacy. And whatever we do should be to glorify God and to lift him up. This message is about Christ and his richness, what he's done for us. It's in Christ alone that we have life and that we have the meaning in life. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we just we come before you this morning. We just thank you for being here with us and the work that Jesus did on the cross, that it's in him alone that we have life and we have meaning in life, and we look forward to someday being with him throughout all eternity. Just pray for each one here. We want you to receive the honor and the glory. We pray this through Christ. Amen.